Broadcasting live from the Cobb Business Radio X studios, it's time for the Owner's Manual. Brought to you by two Zaxby's locations in Marietta, Lower Roswell Road and South Marietta Parkway.
Good morning. This is John Silvey with the Owner's Manual, managing partner for Zaxby's in Marietta. I'm here with attorney Stephen Worrell from the Monnelly firm in Marietta. A little bit about Steve. I'm just going to run through this real quick, if you don't mind. He was born in Cobb County. He's married with three children. Graduated from UGA in 83. Mm-hmm. He practiced in Buckhead until 95. Started his own legal practice at that time. And now is working for the Monnelly firm this year as the Senior Adoption Estate Planning and Probate Attorney.
That's correct.
Well, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here, John.
Let's get into some information that I'm sure that a lot of people don't know. I know nothing about estate planning. So we're just going to get into it, and I'm going to ask you a few things and see what we can pull out. Who needs estate planning?
Well, a lot of people think that estate planning is just for the rich. It's mm-hmm. really not. It's for anybody who has someone that they love or things that they care about and that they want to plan for. Estate planning is all about creating private law that determines what you want done with your body, with your person in the case of health issues, as well as your money and other intangible assets as well, about how you want to pass those on and or have those handled in the case of incapacity.
Okay, so estate planning, whenever I've heard it, or when, and I asked you this earlier, and so what's the difference between that and probate?
Probate is a process that involves really three different areas, if you will. The probate judge wears three different hats. One is the most common thought of, and that is the death side of probate, that the judge handles administration of estates after someone has passed on, whether they have a will or do not have a will. There is also the issue of a probate judge handles the issues of adult incapacity, so that if someone is not able to manage their own affairs, they may need to have a guardian appointed to take care of their person or a conservator appointed to take care of their property and their money. There's also the issue in probate court of dealing with guardianship of minor children or conservatorship of their assets. Children cannot own assets, so someone has to be appointed to manage their assets if they come into money through either inheritance or through an automobile accident or something like that. Estate planning is designed to allow someone to decide what happens outside of the state's defaults for you. For example, the state has a one-size-fits-all will for you. A lot of people think, I don't have a will, but they actually do. If they live in the state of Georgia and they're married, their spouse will receive all of their assets if they die. If they are married and have one child, the spouse takes a child share, so the spouse gets half and the child gets half. If they have more than several children, the spouse never gets less than one-third of the estate. So that is the state's one-size-fits-all plan for you. By doing a will or a living trust, you can create a plan that doesn't do those things, that does something more of what you want.
Okay. So what for the like – I don't have a planned will. I don't have anything like that. So what? Why would I need that? Why would anybody need a will?
Well, it's a good idea to have one because that way you can tell what your loved ones what you want done with your property. You can also help pass on more than just your money. We have a tool that we use in our office that helps pass on the intangible assets that are so commonly lost when we lose someone. The things that are really more important to us in many cases than the money that they're leaving behind, their values, their insights, their stories, their experiences. So by capturing those in a recording as part of our process, we can help pass on that little piece of their loved one when they pass on.
Okay. So what documents do you need for estate planning?
Every adult in Georgia needs several documents. At a minimum, I would say that from whether you're 18 and have just graduated from high school, going off to college, to if you're an older folk person, you know, who is getting in near the end of their life, you still need a will to take care of your property and to, if you have minor children, to name guardians for those children. You need a financial power of attorney to designate someone to manage your financial affairs for you if you are later either determined to be incapacitated or in many cases with our married couples, those are made immediate. That allows someone to handle your financial affairs for you as a stopgap during that period of time that someone may be looking to appoint a guardian for you to manage your affairs. You also need a health care directive in Georgia. A health care directive enables you to – it has two parts. We used to have two different documents that are covered by our health care directive today. One was a living will. That's the Terry Schiavo situation, the lady in Florida who whose family fought over whether or not to disconnect her from life support, I guess is the common term for it. But technically, she wasn't on life support. Her body was working. It was her brain that was not functioning according to her doctors, that she was breathing on her own. Her heart was beating. But the fight was over whether or not to basically to stop feeding her and giving her water. And her husband said she wouldn't want to live in this condition, that she would want to die a normal, natural death. Her parents said, no, we believe she's still there, that she's still with us, and she wants us to fight for her. And fight they did, all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, years and years of litigation. And ultimately, the doctors were allowed to stop giving her the food and hydration. The husband won, and she was allowed to die a natural death. Whether that's what she wanted or not, we'll never know because she didn't leave written directions.
Right.
And so her family could have been spared all that agony by just saying in writing what she wanted done with her health care decision in those situations. The other document that we include that's part of what we used to include was a health care power of attorney. That enabled you to make a choice of who you would want to make your medical decisions for you if you couldn't communicate your wishes for whatever reason. Let's say you're in a car accident, you're unconscious, they bring you into the hospital, and we need to know right now. You're going to get better, we know that, but we need to know right now, do you want this operation or this operation? And a healthcare agent can make those choices for you if you've designated them in writing under a healthcare directive. The other document that that every adult needs is a HIPAA authorization. Our healthcare directives now include that, but in the past, you had the catch-22 of a healthcare agent not being able to look at your medical records if you had not signed a HIPAA authorization for that particular doctor or hospital. And so those are the basic four documents that you need in any case. There may also be a need for something called a living trust. A living trust allows you to deal with things while you're alive and well, while you're alive and not so well, and at the time of your death. In that sense, it acts like a will. In the other sense, it acts like a guardianship or conservatorship. It allows you to name someone to manage your affairs for you and to decide the process about how you're going to become determined to be incapacitated, as opposed to letting a probate judge deal with those things.
Okay. So as a business owner, are there any documents that I would need for my business?
In addition to the ones we've talked about, very often a business owner might very well want to consider having a living trust as part of their estate plan. But you would also want to make sure that there is some sort of succession plan in place, that you know what's going to happen to the business if something happens to you. So who is going to take it over? How are they going to pay the family for that business? And that's usually done with something called key man life insurance. Basically, policy on the owner of the business that when they die, their beneficiary is the new owner, and they will receive that money to pay the family to buy that business. There should also be, as I said, a good succession plan in place so you know who's going to be taking over things and running things in the way that you want it run.
Okay. So talk a little bit about what happens without estate planning.
Well, without estate planning, that's where you're thrown into the probate situation we were talking about.
Right.
If you don't have a will, the court will administer your property. There is a process that both the executor and the administrator are two different names for what we call the personal representative. That's the person appointed by the probate court to manage your assets for you after you die. When we're alive, we pretty much sign transfer documents with the stroke of a pen. We sign a deed for our house or a title for our car. And when we're gone, we can't do that. So the court has to appoint someone to do that. If we have a will, that will be the executor that we've named in that will. If we don't have a will, if we have that state's one-size-fits-all will, the administrator will be appointed to do that. And then their job is basically three things. It's to identify and to gather the assets together, to notify the creditors that you've passed on so they can send their bills to the estate to be paid. Mm-hmm. And then out of what's left, the money is distributed to either the heirs at law or to the beneficiaries if there's a will. The notification to the creditors takes the form of a legal notice that's placed in the legal newspaper of the county. Here in the Atlanta area, that's either going to be the Fulton Daily Report in Atlanta or the Marietta Daily Journal. And it runs once a week for 4 weeks. That's 1 month. And then the creditors have up till 3 months to submit their claims. And then there's a statutory order of priority for those creditors to be paid. So the estate has up to 6 months to pay those claims. During that time, the estate has to be kept open. Not all of the money is available for the loved ones of the family. And so it's tied up in probate. The other aspects of probate that a lot of people want to avoid are that it is public. Anybody can go to the probate court and look at a probate file. It also, as we've alluded to the length of time it takes, but it's also a costly process. Nationwide, it's estimated that between 2% and 8% of the value of the assets that are going through the probate process is what the cost of the probate is. In Georgia, I would say we tend to be on the lower end of that, but it's still an avoidable process that people can choose to avoid by going through, by doing a living trust as part of their plan.
Okay. So tell us what digital assets are and how you can plan for that.
Digital assets in this day and age, you know, think about how many things we do online, our bank accounts, our social media accounts. When we die, we want to make sure that we have a plan in place so that our loved ones can access those accounts. Now, with the case of some of the social media properties, for example, Facebook, Google, there are terms of service that you sign, those long things that you, when you sign up for the account, that nobody reads. You can get to the bottom. Just say, get to the bottom so I can say yes.
Right.
And so those terms of service generally do not allow you to transfer the accounts to someone else. But nowadays, because of the recognition of the importance of these accounts, Google has done something called an inactive account manager. Facebook has created a legacy contact feature. So there are ways now within these services of allowing someone else to access your account to either deactivate it or to preserve it, memorialize it in some fashion, or to download the material that's on it. With the case of social media, of course, there's a lot of pictures that family members might want. There's the thoughts and recollections of the person that they've lost that are recorded that may very well want to be preserved in some fashion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go back to talking about parents of young children. Mm-hmm. What do they need to do to plan for their children's future? And what happens if they don't?
Well, this is really an area that propelled me into this area of law about 8 years ago, was the realization that we as lawyers are not doing a really good job for the entire picture when it comes to a child who has lost their parents. As lawyers, we deal with the long term. There's two phases when we're talking about guardianship of children. There's the long term and the short term. The long term is who's going to raise the children to adulthood. So from the time that the probate judge signs the order saying this person is now their legal guardian, to the time the child becomes 18. That's what lawyers are good at. We do that in wills all the time. We name guardians for the children in wills. What we have not been doing is what I refer to as the short term, and that is what happens immediately after the parent or parents are killed. This hard, cold reality is that DFACs or the police are probably going to get involved, and the children will be in DFACs custody for some period of time. Probably not a long period of time. Their job is to try to find short-term people to take care of the children, usually a family member. Whether that's the family member that the parents would have wanted or not is another question. Mm-hmm. But by enabling what we call first responders, people that are close by, the children already know, love, and trust, to have legal documents in hand, they can show the police that this parent has named me as a first responder to take care of the children until the long-term guardian gets here and files the paperwork with court.
Okay, so in your information, I saw that you also do adoptions. That's pretty near and dear to my
heart.
So tell us a little bit about that, about the guardianships, about the special needs trust that you do. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that, okay. So everyone knows more about that. So if they need any information, they can contact you about it.
Sure, glad to. Like you, I'm an adoptive parent. My wife and I adopted our daughter Amanda from China when she was 14 months old in 1999.
Excellent.
And she is now a senior at Pope High School and about to graduate in May. We're very proud of her. But adoption is very near and dear to my heart, as it is to yours. We handle in our firm, and I do them primarily for our firm, both private adoptions where there's a private placement of the child with the family, or an agency adoption where sometimes where the foster care situation turns into a permanent situation. Step-parent adoptions, we do those where the mother of a child or the father of a child has married and the other parent is not involved to the extent that they should be, that they've not supported the child for over 12 months or they've not communicated with the child for over 12 months. In those situations, the step-parent can step in and ask the court to terminate the rights of the biological parent and substitute them in the legal parent role. So we do all of those types of things. You mentioned special needs trust. We do a good bit of special needs planning. Those are for situations where parents have children with special needs that may ultimately require some sort of government benefit, usually Social Security disability, SSI, so that social supplemental income, that and Medicaid for dealing with their medical expenses. To qualify for those things, you have to have a certain level of – you can't have more than a certain amount of income or more than a certain amount of assets. But this special needs trust is a separate legal entity that can hold assets for the benefit of that child and can be used for their needs to supplement the needs that the government benefits provide without disqualifying them from those government benefits. It's like tax planning. It's not tax evasion if you try to reduce your taxes legally within the system, and that's the same thing with special needs trust. We are working within the system that is provided. They allow for special needs trust, either private special needs trust or some sort of pooled situation where the money is deposited into an account and used for the benefit of their child.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really great. What else do you do? You do divorce, not you personally, but you do divorce. You're a divorce attorney, and you also do prenups.
That's correct. I've been practicing family law for over 30 years at this point. Our firm does nothing but family law. They've hired me about a year ago to create the estate planning and probate department for them. I do still do some family law cases. But for the most part, it's the estate planning and probate now that I'm working with and the adoption cases. Prenups are another area that I do a good bit of work in. And like estate planning, it's creating a private law. You can, with a prenuptial agreement, you can decide what is going to happen in the case of a divorce. And you can also deal with some estate planning related issues as well to say that I've come into this marriage with certain things. You've come into the marriage with certain things. We are going to waive each other's rights to those things that we're bringing into the marriage, which is consistent with Georgia divorce law. But what's not consistent is that you can say we're going to equally divide marital assets as opposed to equitably divide marital assets. That's the law in Georgia, is that we equitably divide whatever is fair in the situation. And that takes some argument, basically. It takes a judge to make a decision about those things if the parties can't agree. But if the parties have agreed in a prenuptial agreement, this is how we're going to divide our marital assets, then it reduces a lot of the cost and the anxiety at the time of the dissolution of the marriage. You can also, in a prenuptial agreement, deal with waiver of certain rights that a spouse might have to the other spouse's estate just by being married to that person. For example, the plan may be that the husband may want the assets that he's built up over the years to go to his children as opposed to her children. And so that can be done in a prenuptial agreement as well.
Okay. So going back to estate planning, is it not just about money and property? Is there other things that are included in that?
Yeah, I like to talk about the intangible assets, too. We've mentioned that a little bit. I can give you an example of what I'm talking about there. My dad was a World War II veteran. Growing up, he never talked about his experiences in the war. I knew that he served in the Army Air Corps, later the Air Force, and that he served in the China-Burmese-India theater of the war. And he flew a cargo plane. That's about all he talked about. After we adopted our daughter from China, he started opening up about his experiences a little bit more about it. He said, you know, I was one of the first Americans in the Forbidden City after the war. And he talked about how the Japanese were allowed to keep their rifles because the Chinese people might attack them after the war was over. And he had the opportunity a few years ago before he passed on to record an interview with Reader's Digest had a promotion where they sent out information to veterans to and ask them to send in a recording of their voice, of their experiences in a cassette form, send in some photographs of their experiences in the war, And then they would cut it together into a video presentation with Walter Cronkite introducing the general story of the veteran and in National Archives stock video footage so that you could see what was going on at that particular time. And that having that little piece of him now that he's gone is really priceless to us. And so as part of our process, we do something similar. We interviewed our clients about a particular topic of importance to them. With our parents of minor children, it's usually as a love letter to their children, as well as an instruction manual for their guardian about how they want their children raised in their words and their own voice, recorded for all to hear later on.
Okay. That's very interesting for sure. Okay. So how can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you? How can they tweet you, call you? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, my Twitter handle is Steve Warrall. That's StevWarrall. I also have a Twitter handle of GA Family Law, Georgia Family Law. I still maintain my website for my practice. I was in private practice for 20 years before I came back into an employment situation with the current firm that I'm at. My old website is Georgia Family Law, and I'm still actively posting to that. Our website for the Manili firm is allfamilylaw.com. You can reach us by phone at 770-421-0808. Or directly to me at 770-425-6060. Or you can email me at steve@allfamilylaw.com. We're located in Marietta. Our primary office is on Roswell Street, just near the courthouse. But we have offices all throughout the state in Atlanta, Canton, Lawrenceville, Gainesville, and Savannah.
Okay. Anything else that you want to let everybody know about?
I don't believe so. Other than that this time of the year, this is a good time to start really thinking about estate planning. It's a good time with New Year's coming up to think about estate planning as part of your resolutions. If you're a parent of minor children, you've not named guardians for your kids, you ought to think about doing that now. While we have the families together for the holidays, it's a good time to talk with your parents about their plans so that you know what they want and you can help carry out those wishes for them when the time comes. If they've not done proper planning, it's really going to be a gift for you to yourself to help them do that because the burden will fall to the family members that are being left behind when someone passes.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you being here, Steve. We're going to wrap it up, and we will don't forget to follow us at Zaxby's 2080 LRR and Zaxby's 591 SMP. We will see you next week.
This show is brought to you by Zaxby's. Indescribably good. Your resource for any catering needs. Learn more at Zaxby's.com.